Hello, one and all. Welcome back to another episode. It's lovely to have you here. Hopefully, you have been enjoying the last few weeks' episodes. I thought last week was particularly interesting with Scott Carney discussing Wim Hof, discussing ice and breathing, also the vortex and his new book about Pakistan and the partition there. I really enjoyed it, so hopefully you did too. It was had a good amount of listens, which is lovely as always. This week, though, I am back again. Obviously, it's fortnightly at the moment. If anyone would prefer weekly, please do let me know. I'm kind of preferring doing them fortnightly, but obviously, do let me know. Anyway, this week I have Mike Fitch, who Mike Fitch is the founder and creator of Animal Flow. If you've never heard of Animal Flow, it's fun. It's a little bit like doing yoga, but without any of the crazy hippie stuff. The physical side of yoga, I should say. It's very much about body control, body strength, mobility. And it's very much about being getting into a flow of human movement. It's a lot of fun, a lot of fun, as was this conversation. And we discuss all sorts. We discuss adaptability and being able to create an adaptation within ourselves through putting ourselves into uncomfortable situations. So maybe if you're the sort of person who likes to run away from those things, maybe it's the sort of thing you should look at. But anyway, I will leave you to enjoy the episode. We had a bit of a laugh. He's friends with both Gary Ward, who is obviously one of my mentors and friends and previous guests, and Ryan Hurst, who I've had on previously. They're also very good friends. So there's a bit of a rib tickling at those guys' expenses, but it's all fun and games. And then, as I say, towards the end, he's basically the movement world's Rob Lowe. That's what I think. I don't know. Maybe go and check the video out on YouTube and see what you think. Anyway, have a wonderful day. Enjoy this. Please do, as always, make sure you go and like, subscribe, share, all of that shit. I should also say, I just sworn there. Apologies. I'm trying not to swear. Within the episodes, anywhere near as much. There is a few swear words within this episode from both me and from Mike, but hopefully you can just la 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 if you're listening with the kids. Yeah, enjoy the episode, guys. Have a wonderful week and let me know what you think. And welcome back, guys. Thanks to everyone for checking out last week's episode. We are back this week with someone who I have been trying to get on for about 8 months, I think, on and off. We've been conversing and life has just been slightly busy, let's say, for the both of us. So I'm really super stoked to welcome Mike Fitch. I'll pass it over to you and you can tell people why they might know you or perhaps why they should know you.
Well, let's see. My name's Mike Fitch and I created a system called Animal Flow. I think that may be the reason that people may have heard of me before. Also, I do lots of, you know, CD list movies and television shows.
I didn't
that's
actually know
not
that.
True at all.
Oh, I was going to say.
No, that's not true.
I need to go and look on IMDb now.
You may remember me from such movies as the ones you've never heard of.
You could have got away with it. You totally could have got away with that.
But yeah, I'm a coach, an educator, and a student of all things movement, health, fitness related.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I mean, what I liked about what you just said there was you're a student of movement, health, and you said something else, but the health was the one that got me because I kind of want to, that's one of the things I'd like to kind of start to explore a little bit as well. Animal Flow, I guess that's pretty much where maybe we'll just start taking off from, because I know that there's a lot of people in the movement, fitness, exercise world, whatever else, who have probably come across Animal Flow and have seen it. And I know there's some people who aren't quite sure what it's all about, I guess. And I've done my fair share of playing around with it. But what was it? What is it? Let's start with what is it and then we'll build it out from there.
Cool. So typically when I try to explain what animal flow is to other people, I'll start with the visual so they can create some sort of association and start to put together what it may look like. And the reason I do that is because it can be so many different things depending on the person who's practicing it. So I'll usually start by saying, if you were to watch someone practicing animal flow, it may look like yoga meets breakdancing meets a martial art, or depending upon who I'm talking to, I may use something else as an example, because, you know, that's the way our brain works. We want to link things that we already know together. So I'll usually start with that. And then usually there's a moment where they're like, okay, I can probably, you know, start to visualize what that may look like. And then from there, I'll typically address the animal thing first. So I'll say, you know, a lot of people are under the misconception that it's all about acting like animals or finding your spirit animal or whatever. And while you may do that, I don't know. The true intention of the program is to improve the connection, communication, and function of the human animal. So it's really about how we inhabit our human bodies and move them through space. And then if they still seem interested, I'll continue on and kind of give them the longer than the elevator pitch of what animal flow is.
Yeah.
But I'll save that because I feel like we're going to hit on some of those topics anyway.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Cool. So I guess as just from what it is, let's just go into you a little bit. So what was your journey to suddenly, because as I can say, there's people when I've been practicing, like I am by no means like an animal flow expert. I was a member of the app for a fair while. I was doing that for about 8 months or something. And from my Instagram tag, most people know is with_yoga. I'm a yoga teacher as well as many other things. Like yoga's been my background, but as we do with many things, we kind of tend to get a bit bored of doing the same sequences. And so for me, it was kind of like, I loved the slightly more maybe calisthenics-y kind of side of, you know, just a different way of moving with animal flow. So I was kind of behind that. So with you, how did you begin to, put this whole thing together? Or, you know, what's your background? You know, was it yoga/breakdancing/ I've forgotten what the third one was, but, you know, did you come from those kind of backgrounds? And then it was just things just started to slide together in a different manner? Or
so I had been a personal trainer already for about a decade. Okay. And as a personal trainer, I was, you know,
in the gym.
So I was working, I always worked in either, you know, box gyms or towards the end of my personal training career or before I transitioned into animal flow, I was working at private personal training studios.
Okay.
And, you know, my journey as a trainer, I was someone who was super passionate about continuing my education and my understanding of the human body. So I would really get into different things. So I really got into kettlebell training when it first kind of was introduced to the United States or when it first started becoming popular. I really got into Olympic lifting. I really got into pre and post rehabilitation, sports specific training, corrective exercise, et cetera. And I found myself where I believe most guys, maybe some women do, where I had two goals. Basically, it was to get as strong as I could and as big as I could. So I spent a couple of years just, you know, lifting the heaviest things I could, trying to put on as much mass as I could, sometimes doing, you know, 2-a-day training sessions. And I reached my goal. I was much, much bigger than I am now and much, much stronger as far as external loads go. But as much as I knew about proper training, periodization, form, technique, blah, 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 I felt intrinsically, intuitively in my body like I was dishonoring the vessel that I was in. And I'm not saying that in a negative way about weight training. I'm saying it because the more that I continued my studies, the more I understood how infinitely complex the human system is. And I just felt like, wow, I'm only expressing one ability, essentially, when I have all of these untapped abilities that I'm just not exploring.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then, so then that was part of it. But then another thing that kept echoing or kept repeating itself within my head was to train to last. And I started thinking more about am I training for how I want to look right now, or am I training for how I want it to feel in my body 10, 20, 30, 40 years down the road?
Yeah,
and that became way more important to me, because I was like, man, it, you know, when I'm 50 years old, 60 years old, 70 years old, I want to really enjoy the body that I'm in. So why not train for the future, not train for tomorrow, today, this summer, a picture on Instagram, et cetera.
Yeah.
So those two things were really the catalyst to that led to me putting down the weights and deciding to only explore body weight training first. So that's where I started. And I began with calisthenics, like you mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
And to me, there was something so empowering about this concept where you don't need anything but your own body weight and gravity. You know, I used to always say, like, a little bit of space is a gym. Something to pull up from is a luxury gym.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we're already.
Yeah, no, sorry. I was going to say that's exactly how I feel about things. And I mean, I did my PT training a couple of years back now, but I've never really used it. I've kind of always been, I was nursing and that kind of health side of things. And then I realized that it wasn't actually health at all. It's definitely very much illness. But, you know, that led me into the path of always being a relatively healthy, fit person. And then all of, you know, for me, I did the gym thing for a while, for a few years, and I don't like gyms personally. I like, you know, the false air, the loud music. And I said this on one of my podcasts a while back, you know, I probably have very obnoxious taste in music to many people listening to like metal and punk and all sorts, but I'd far prefer to listen to that than listen to pumpy dance music. And so, yeah, kind of that thing for me of just like, hang on, I've got 2 foot by 6 foot space. Sweet. I can do pretty much everything I want to do in that space. And I think it's an underutilized method of just moving, really.
Yeah, 100%. And as I mentioned, I'd worked in gyms for 10 years when I decided to make this shift. So to just come to that conclusion where you go, oh man, I don't need any of this shit. I already have the most sophisticated piece of exercise machinery. I live in it. All I have to do is go outside. You know, all I have to do is find a little space, find a corner, you know, and it's just, once you get that, everything changes. It's like, you know, you put on these glasses and you're like, oh, the world is completely
they live.
Different now.
Like the film They Live when he puts the glasses on and suddenly he just sees all the real signs for obey and like.
Yeah, precisely. So once you understand that, you know, it's very tough to go back. So that, and so not only was that the body weight training just incredibly influential in my journey, but also I love the skill acquisition part of it. I love that, you know, there was something that I was working toward that was not just adding a pound of muscle or not adding 10 pounds to a bench press. It was, oh, can I achieve a muscle up? Can I achieve a human flag? Can I achieve a single arm push-up, a handstand push-up, whatever it may be? So the skill part was like, I took to that so fast, and it just, it's all I wanted to do. I wanted to level up and reach these new levels of calisthenics training. So that was, that began my obsession, my passion with just moving my body through space and learning how to be a better practitioner of using my body. So from there, that calisthenics quickly led to trying out gymnastics. So I went to a gymnastics class, an adult gymnastics class, which was very humbling for me because I was terrible at everything.
I've been there.
And I thought, wow, I've been working my body for so many years, and it turns out I have very little ability to work, like move my body.
Yeah.
So humbling experience. Instead of becoming discouraged by it, I was super motivated by it. So I just said, you know what? I need to go deeper. I need to go deeper. And I transitioned from gymnastics to parkour, which actually was a much better fit for me.
Yeah.
And I really got into parkour, hired a personal parkour coach and just went fully into it. That quickly led to breaking or breakdancing.
Amazing.
And again, totally shit. I mean, terrible at it. And So I was like, oh, I must need this. You know, I'm so bad at it. There's something.
That's my mindset as well. God, I suck at this. I must have to do it some more.
Yeah. And, you know, isn't that an interesting thing when you can have two different people that have completely different responses to being exposed. And I say that as, you know, being exposed, because whenever we're challenged with things that make us feel weak versus things that make us feel strong, some people lean into the things that make them feel weak because they see it as an opportunity. Some people go, nah, fuck that, I'm out. I need to go to the thing that makes me feel, you know, good about myself and strong. And
I wonder with that, though, sorry, we're going to sidetrack on this thought, because it's quite interesting. Like, I mean, I always wonder with that, like, obviously there is so much in life that leads a person to that situation, but kind of, you know, people's ability to lean into discomfort is kind of, I always kind of, for me, I kind of see it as, you know, I kind of tend to watch how they breathe and how their general state is on a day-to-day kind of basis. And I generally see the people who come see me who are happier to lean in tend to be slightly more functionally kind of breathing and like coping with the day-to-day kind of stresses, whereas people who tend to lean away, I've always found a kind of slightly more hyperventilated, a bit more mouth breathing, much more like auxiliary muscly kind of breathing and stuff. And yeah, whether that's actually across the board or not, but just my small kind of sample sizes that I see, it kind of just is a bit of an interesting thought around that.
Yeah, you know, and there is a lot there, and that's a totally, you know, we could have a conversation on this topic alone for quite some time. But I think, you know, one of the things that comes up for me when we're talking about this subject is, you know, we are, our bodies by design, we are adaptation machines, and our bodies want to become more efficient at any given task, right? Because that, you know, we are, by design, we have a couple of goals that are just hardwired. One, continue life. So our bodies want to continue to stay alive. As much as we destroy them or abuse them, they want to keep ticking. Two, they want to become more efficient, so they expend less energy at any given task.
Yep.
And they want to take the path of least resistance. So by design, we want to do the things, or we want to do the things that make us feel comfortable, that our body has adapted to, that expend less energy. And when I say that, I'm not just talking about working out. I'm talking about, you know, everything from the way that we go about our lives, from staying away from discomfort as far as conversation goes, to staying away from learning something new other than what we do for our job, et cetera.
Or even so just staying in the same job forever, because you never want to step out of that comfort zone.
100%. So when we decide to do something new, something different, something that challenges us in a new way, you know, there is the opportunity then to make that decision. So do I want to do this thing because there's something intuitively that makes me want to try it and put in the effort? Or do I feel so exposed, so, so weak, so bad, so, you know, fill in the blank, whatever word you want to use, that it scares me and I need to go back to the things that just make me feel comfortable, safe, et cetera.
Yeah.
And, you know, in my opinion, in my experience, the journey of self-mastery, if you decide to continue down that road of constantly pushing yourself and looking for constant growth, it is a life of discomfort.
Yeah.
You're always outside of your comfort zone, because that's where growth happens. That's where the potential for growth happens.
Yeah.
And if you find that you're always just like cruising, you know what? You might not be pushing yourself. You might not be growing. You might just be maintaining or finding a steady state. And that's also okay for periods of time, you know. Yeah. But I think if you spend your entire life in that, there's a lot of stagnation that comes with that.
100%. Yeah. I kind of back in, what was it, 2020, I think, beginning of lockdown, I just decided like really it was kind of going to be my like year of like finding comfort and discomfort. So I just like tried to push myself to do as many weird, you know, throughout lockdown, you know, we were fortunate we had like frozen rivers and stuff. So I decided to kind of start hacking holes in ice and climbing in and all that kind of stuff. Just anything to kind of make myself feel out of my comfort zone. And it's kind of, you know, now it's kind of
just continued on everything I kind of think about doing. I'm like, well, I want to do some kind of crazy running challenge. Well, that'll be hideous. But actually, I really like the idea of just seeing what my body is capable of.
100%. Yeah. In a similar, fashion that we're speaking about this concept, it definitely became more apparent, at least in my opinion, or, in my experience, I should say, when COVID hit. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I saw it with all of my friends and people that I knew in the beginning, and everyone would go through different phases with it. So some people would just be like, you know what? I don't care about anything. I'm just going to try to get through the day, and I'm fine with eating more, drinking more, watching more Netflix, and, hanging around the house. And then other friends would do the exact opposite. So they would just be like, you know what? I'm going to use this time to learn how to play an instrument, learn a new language. I'm going to do these different challenges, like you said. And then I would see the flip flop where someone would start strong into something and just be like, I'm good. Never mind.
I think sourdough bread was one of the big ones, wasn't it? Everyone made sourdough bread that first lockdown. Yeah, I've got months on my own. I'm going to learn to make sourdough. That'll work. Yeah, it is an interesting one. Just, as you say, we could go on for just hours of just discussing mentality around change and adaptation and stuff. But, and I guess, that's kind of where, just going back to where you were then, just how with you that constant want of change and like through the calisthenics and wanting to live for a longer life, like actually your body when you were 60 or 70 or 80 and wanting to be comfortable in that then led you on to your animals. Yes.
So just to get back on track, I was going down these different roads of exploration and realizing how shit I was in my body, I was also at the time, of course, still working with clients. And while I'm, while I'm trying these different things, I just kept thinking, wow, my clients could benefit from what I'm experiencing so much, but they would most likely never go to an adult gymnastics class, never join a parkour gym. So are there opportunities that I can, or is there a way that I can use my experience to help them better know how to inhabit their vessel, their bodies? So the idea of creating a system started to pop up whenever I was going through this adventure. But just to backtrack a little bit, two of the things that were most powerful to me, aside from learning that all I needed was my own body weight, was the contact with the ground. Mm-hmm. So I knew immediately, just to give you a little bit of backstory, whenever I first started parkour training, that was when I was first introduced to animal locomotion. And again, going back to the animal flow thing, yes, we do use some animal locomotion. But again, it's really truly about the human animal. So that was when I was introduced to animal locomotion, and just going through these patterns and placing hands and feet in contact with the ground, I just thought, wow, something clicked. There's something here. And then when I got into breaking, again, that was just reinforced. I just knew that as soon as I placed hands and feet in contact with the ground, something magical happened. And to me, it was everything else went silent. I couldn't think about anything else that was going on in the world, that was going on in my head, in my relationships. There was no more noise. It was just all I could do was be concentrated and centered and focused on what I was doing at that very moment. So it was this invitation back into my body that I loved. And I thought, you know what? There's power in connecting to the ground. So quadrupedal movement, I just knew right away. I was like, okay, I want to create something around, mostly quadrupedal movements.
Yeah.
And then the second part, of course, was flow. And I was a skateboarder as a teen, which I'm trying to get back into now, which is a whole other fucking story. But
it's painful.
So much more painful. So I had experienced, flow in skateboarding. I was a musician, much more so when I was younger. Mm-hmm. And I had experienced flow in playing music with other people. So, I was not a stranger to the concept of flow, but when practicing parkour, when breaking, and when just experiencing free movement on my own, I really started for the first time aside from kettlebell training, to understand what the feeling of just body movement flow was, and, okay, and yeah. how addictive it can become. And I just thought, wow, if I could provide this experience to other people, I would essentially be helping them just increase the quality of their existence in every way. You know, because I think the introduction of flow into someone's reality is just so profound. And yes. once they feel that, just like we talked about with the body weight training, once they feel that, it's like an immediate, I want more. I want more of this in my life. And, you know, movement flow, I'm a big believer, can segue very easily into flow through, again, life, like conversation, how you go about your day, et cetera. So having those two things, quadrupedal movement and flow, it just made sense to me to create a system that anyone could come into and feel successful at right away. So when you see someone doing, you know, higher level animal flow, yeah, it looks really, really visually challenging. And you know, you're like, wow, that looks super cool. I could never do that. And, you know, one of the main messages that we always try to get across with animal flow is anyone can do it. It's just yeah. when you're seeing someone do it at a high level, they're going through the steps and they've gotten there, right? But everyone starts at the same place.
Definitely. And that's one of the things I actually really like about, and what I'll be honest, one of the things I found maybe when I, the first couple of weeks when I started doing the app was actually frustration to a certain degree, because in my yoga flow and, you know, whatever else, I'm used to a lot of body weight, you know, throwing myself, you know, flowing around, whatever else. And then it was like, right, we're going to take animal flow. It's going to go back to, we're going back to the beginning. And it really is enough that, you know, anyone can do it. And as you know, this is one of the things I'm trying to get back into, play my bass at the moment, sort of slight segue. But again, I've got this like online bloke I'm trying to, of course, I've kind of picked up. And it's almost like we're taking you right back to the beginning. And part of me, that bit of my brain goes, this is really fucking frustrating. I know this. I want to just, but actually, it's already taught me a whole bunch of bits I always missed. And doing the animal flow from the beginning, it was like, yes, I can do it. But actually, it really taught me how, when I'm teaching other people, you can use it. And I'm going to bring up Ryan and GMB at some point. But one of the things I like about both of it, your things, is very much that you could have no experience of being on your hands and knees or, you know, on quadrupedal, but you can still do your programs like really successfully and really, really get a lot out of it. And which again, as we said, body weight versus like weights and stuff is perfect, because you can literally have a space as big as my carpet here and you can get so, so, so much out of very minimal movements.
Yeah. Ryan Hurst, that guy's a dick, huh?
He's a fucking prick, eh?
One of the nicest guys on the planet.
He's so sweet. He's so sweet. He messaged me a while back because I've kind of wanted to, my plan for this year, I've gone a bit off rails the last like 6-8 weeks, but my plan for this year is I want to be able to learn to planche. Like it's been on my, in the back of my brain, and I was doing some bits and he's like, he just messaged me like, hey man, I want to coach you how to planche. And I was like, it just literally came out of nowhere. I was like, oh, that's so sweet. I'm still not there yet, but you know.
Man, that's a long journey. That's a super long journey. And that, what a man. Wow. Just to have someone who is so experienced reach out to you and offer their time like that. That's quite incredible.
Yeah.
But to go back to,
hence he's a dick.
To what you're, yeah. Hence he's just an all around shitty guy.
Yeah, exactly.
but yeah, no, we love Ryan Hurst. And, you know, going back to what you were saying earlier, I forgot where I heard this. I think it's a pretty well-known concept, but have you ever heard someone say becoming advanced is getting deeper into the basics or some iteration
yes.
of that?
Yes, absolutely.
And I always love that. And that's something that we talk a lot about within our animal flow community, because we have this incredibly loving and supportive community that's global and it doesn't typically attract bad people. It typically attracts these really amazing people that there's no ego involved. And part of it is, you know, nobody wins animal flow. There's no best at, there's no championship. It's all about your individual practice. But we like to get together and do our individual practices together in groups.
And they also look incredible. Whatever level they are, they can be like total like level one beginners, but you see five or six people all moving in unison together. It looks amazing.
And how, I mean, just the power of that, moving and breathing in sync with other people. And it's just, man, it's so incredible. So yeah, so to go back, you know, we have these themes that run through the community, and that is one of them. It's always go back to the basics, always lean into the movements that you don't feel comfortable with, because, you know, in flow and animal flow, once, you know, some people have the tendency when they first learn the movements to want more. And that's just, you know, that's part of the process. I want to go 100 miles an hour. Yep. You know, give me more movements when I don't even understand the ones that I've learned yet.
Yeah.
Which is just, you know, a natural process. And that's part of what we do. So, but we have to constantly encourage them to continue to get deeper into the basics, truly understand them as they have their forward journey into getting new moves under their belt. And it's cool once you see somebody mature and they get to that point where they go, oh, I don't understand this at all. I need to go back to the beginning.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone has their own journey, so there's no timeline. And you know, we see that with our, what we call our master instructors, who are our educators. They do that quite often, where they just go, you know what? I had to go all the way back to the beginning. And these are people that are super, super advanced.
Yeah.
And they go, you know, I thought I knew what this was. Now it's something different for me, so I need to go back to the basics.
One of your master instructors, I think in the UK, Rich Scrivener, is that his name? Rich?
Oh,
I think Rich. I've never actually met him, but when I first came across Animal Flow, I'm talking 6 years back, I guess, something like that. Anyway, I think he's from Ipswich originally, or he's like, I can't quite remember. He's got connections to my local town type thing. And we got chatting for a little while. But anyway, on Instagram, I obviously follow him and see him. And again, I've seen that exact thing as you said. It would be like you watch him doing his stuff, and it is beautifully complicated and strong and impressive. And then all of a sudden it's kind of like, yeah, no, actually this, like, we're going back. And then all of a sudden, you know, for the next like month or 6 weeks, he's near enough just doing kind of the basics and really honing, tuning in, understanding and learning more about himself in those simple inverted commas places, which then only benefits his more advanced stuff down the line.
Yeah, 100%. And I'm a big advocate of this, you know, let me back up a little bit and just say, I've always found that structure gives us the ability to experience freedom. And, you know, when you have someone who just says, all right, well, just dance or just move, you know, I think that's a great general idea. But if you give someone the tools, so if you teach someone, you were talking about playing bass earlier,
yeah,
you teach someone, you know, okay, let's say you hand someone a guitar and you go, just play.
Yeah.
What are they going to do? If you teach them four chords, they can play thousands of songs.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then it comes down to how they play those notes, those chords, those scales, whatever. Right.
Yeah.
So it's always giving them the movements. You know, you teach someone three dance steps and then you allow them to, you know, you turn on the music and ask them to freestyle, you know, then it's like you're giving them the tools for success.
Yeah.
So I've always been a big advocate of that concept of structure gives us freedom. So that's why we, in our system, we're always going back to the basics, and we're big fans of drilling, 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 drilling. So that way, when we want to experience free flow, that's our freedom play. That's when we can just turn off the thought process and thinking about what comes next, and just allow our body to lead us into what it wants to explore next.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's where, and it's easy to forget, I think sometimes as a more experienced, advanced practitioner, that you can actually do that. Do you know what I mean? Because I find with my yoga practice, I will just, you know, I did Ashtanga for however many years. I did, you know, you name it, I've pretty much tried the different styles of yoga at times, but all, I mean, I don't really like doing any of them anymore as such, like Ashtanga. I don't know if you ever really practiced Ashtanga, but I think it's hideous personally. It's just, it's so many forward folds over like a 2 hour practice that the backs of your body just feels like they're going to break. But again, it led me and taught me so many things that I can now just get on the mat and I can flow for 35, 45 minutes without thinking. It's just my body saying, oh, I think I want to do this now. Oh, I think I want to do this. And like you said, like, you know, in music, it's always that thing of learn the rules so you can break them. And essentially it's kind of, you know, and different words, different meaning, same meanings basically, but learn the basics and learn some structure. And then you can begin to move outside of that structure as much as you like.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you, again, you can just allow your body to act and react. You can allow it to explore its own intrinsic movement wisdom. And and you can just turn off the brain that wants to do a certain sequence, wants to do a movement, is thinking about what the next movement is. And when you experience that freedom, it's so fantastic to have that balance of, this is my practice where I have a plan, or I'm going to create structure around the way that I experience my body today. And then having the opportunity either within the same session or another day to just dedicate time to free flow exploration.
Yeah.
And just go, you know, all right, I've done the reps. Now I just want to turn off and not think and just allow my body to explore space.
Definitely. I mean, I think that to me, just as you were explaining that, kind of obviously one of my main teacher these days is Gary Ward, as you know, Gary. But Gary's kind of buddy who works in Chris, he always said this thing. And to me, like when he first said it, it took a minute for it to sink in. But he asked us, we were all sitting in this group, he said, do you practice movement or do you have a movement practice? And it was kind of like, and then all of a sudden, once you begin to realize, it's like, you know, you can have a movement practice, yoga, Pilates, whatever else, but actually, are you practicing a specific movement that allows you to then have a better movement practice? And it was kind of exactly what you've said. You know, it's kind of like we drill, we rep, we kind of learn exactly how our body is going to move and react. But actually that then allows, you know, it's kind of the micro to the macro, which, you know, really for me is what all of these things should be. Because hopefully the macro is life, isn't it? Like, rather than just the exercise, which is kind of exactly going back to where you've said, is the macro is, I want to be 80 and still have a body I can live in.
Yeah, exactly. And to back up a little bit, you know, Gary and Chris, again, great guys, super nice, brilliant. And I love everything that Gary puts out. So big shout out to Gary.
Big shout out. You know, changed my life for sure. Yeah, definitely.
You know, and I've heard a couple of people talk about this, like Katie Bowman, Dr. Spina, you know, exercise is a supplement. You know, it's something we're taking because we're not living in our bodies the way that our bodies have evolved over time. You know, so we have to exercise because we're not getting more movement. Just throughout our day.
Yeah.
So that's trying to delineate between movement and exercise. You know, we've gotten to this place where people think the only time that you move is when you go to specifically exercise. Mm-hmm. So to get people out of that mindset and get them more into the idea of, you know, they have the ability to move throughout all the hours that they're awake in different ways, and encourage them to experience their body differently. And then that allows, you know, like you had mentioned earlier, to go back to exactly what you had said, the training that we do is the micro, and then that the testing of our training is how we live our lives.
Yes, definitely. And I think that's what exactly I was thinking. Well, you know, the ability to have a body which you feel like you can trust in nature, and also that you kind of, the micro thing has given you an understanding and a feeling that actually I could bend down and pick this thing up safely, or I could squat, or, you know, I was swimming the other day in my local river and there's a tree with a branch falling down. I just decided to like climb up that. So do you know what I mean? I was like monkey climbing, but that's the sort of stuff which comes from having an, you know, a practice in which I know I can trust my body, so that in life it's like, well, I need to get out of here so I can like climb up. And, you know, I guess that's the move, and that kind of idea is like natural movement for like natural living, whatever they, however they want to put it. But, you know, we train like this, so we've got a real world situation we need to get out of. We've kind of got that, we can.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, as you know, most gym style exercises are all, you know, very similar planes of
satchel
motion,
plane, yeah,
very similar joint angles. And that's great. That has its purpose. That serves a very specific purpose. But the body can move in three dimensions, right? The body can move in all ways. So if we just train at these very specific angles, you know, you always hear about the person who like bends over to pick up a loaf of bread and their back explodes, you know, yeah, or turns to grab something. And then now, you know, they have a disc herniation, et cetera.
Yeah.
Because we don't live our lives in these boxy positions or movements. And the more that we do, so if we exercise and sit all day and move in very minimal directions and angles, then our bodies adapt to that. Yeah. So then we lose the capacity to be more resilient when other stressors, loads are imposed upon us. So like you said, just being able to see a tree branch and be like, you know what, I'm going to climb up that thing,
yeah,
versus just being like, well, you know what, I haven't warmed up. I haven't done my 20% of maximal load for my squat before I, you know, so it train, you know, sagittal plane, weight training, traditional gym exercises, they have their place. They're excellent at producing a force that allows you to adapt to it and become stronger, yeah, in very specific angles. So having a resistance training practice, and so, you know, calisthenics is very, very sagittal plane dominant as well. Yeah. So I'm not saying that it's just external loaded training. It's any training where you're putting the same load through the same tissue, through the same joints, everything in your body adapts to that. Your, yeah, respiratory system adapts to that. Your nervous system adapts to that. Everything adapts to that to become more efficient at it and to, yeah, conserve energy when performing that task again.
Yeah.
Right. So the body will put down more muscle tissue, will, you know, et cetera, on and on. So to have that type of practice and have a practice, whatever it may be, where you explore all the other angles. So that can be, you know, a yoga practice. It can be an animal flow practice. It can be breaking. It can be anything else that takes you out of those very linear pathways.
Yeah. Which I guess, like, you know, with whether it be yoga and you kind of look at, you know, you've got the wild thing type poses, which, you know, you kind of have similar things within the animal flow, obviously, but actually allowing kind of, say, arms, you know, for anyone who's listening and isn't quite sure what we're talking about, all these planes and stuff, you know, we tend to sagittal plane is like looking from the side view, and then you've obviously got like the twisty view, like the transverse, and then the frontal view is if you're looking from the front. And but I think, you know, one of the things that when you watch someone who is proficient, you know, and when I say proficient, I'm not even actually talking like master level animal flow, but someone who's practiced it in any manner for probably like a few months, you can see how moving through a sagittal into a transverse into front, they all kind of begin to just blend through each other. And, you know, going back to what, you know, Gary teaches on his courses, but like just quite how much a muscle, you know, when we're taught, certainly when I was taught in GCSE PE, a muscle does this, and it you just get taught like the one plane of motion, essentially, of like it flexes the elbow and blah, blah, blah. And then you realize, well, actually there's some fibers which are trying to twist it and some which are trying to, you know, not do anything. And then you suddenly realize, and when you put it into a 3D flow or movement, as you would in say animal flow, you can really find an awareness of that three-dimensional loading of a muscle. And then you can suddenly realize how your one-dimensional training in a gym, let's say, suddenly makes you feel very weak.
Mm. Yeah, 100%. And, you know, that was going back to what I mentioned earlier about how quadrupedal training instantly like clicked with me. I knew there was something there intuitively, But when you're looking at just the loading profiles, so you know, if we're being loaded vertically by gravity all day long as we're these upright bipedal human beings that walk around and stand and sit, we're experiencing load constantly from gravity in very specific ways within our system. So then when we go into the gym and we, you know, stand or sit or squat in the same angles at all the time over and over repetitively, our tissues, our joints, our fascial tissue, everything experiences those loads and it begins to adapt to it. Whenever you place hands and feet in contact with the ground, you've now taken your entire system and you've changed its relationship to gravity. So now you have gravity pulling downward on it and you have the ground, you know, something called the ground reaction force pushing back into your hands and feet.
Yeah.
And with those two opposing forces, you're creating a whole new load profile on all of your joints. So everything in your body has to be activated in a different way. So now your hip joints have to communicate to your shoulder joints through your spine in a very different way. Your fingertips have to talk to your toes in a very different way. So, you know, just by getting hands and feet in contact with the ground and beginning to move around, no matter what it is, you're encouraging adaptation to variability. So yeah. You're no longer just encouraging adaptation to the same angles. You're encouraging adaptation to a variety of stressors, loads, and load vectors or angles or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's also where you suddenly maybe get, and this is one of the things that I can't quite remember. I think I had to. But when you suddenly put someone onto all fours, you suddenly realize how potentially a lot of their upright movements can be an issue, because actually, I was definitely someone who, I know because I spoke to my mum about it. Like, I crawled for about a week as a child. I literally didn't crawl. I like got bored of it, just straight to standing, started walking. And then, but you know, and in my one-to-one work I do, I kind of see people who their separation of upper and lower body, their pelvis to the rib cage, they've got no clue. You literally ask them to just hold their chest to face forward and try and turn their pelvis, and everything just has to turn. They've got no idea how to. But you put them on the floor, you put them onto a quadrupedal position, and immediately they go into, those people go into like an ipsilateral, though, like same arm, same leg movement, and they're crawling, and then you kind of point it out and they go, oh God, I didn't realize. But putting them into that loading position where all of a sudden you have to load, like, you know, diagonal slings and all sorts of pieces that are going through the body, their body nearly falls apart. Like, they don't quite know how to handle it. But when they then come to stand up afterwards, it's a very different experience of their body in space, because all of a sudden you've got opposite arms, as you said, like the right hand suddenly talking to the left foot, which it probably hasn't been since they were a kid.
Yeah. And you know, we talk a lot about sensory receptors within the body. And you know, that's a big term for, I like to call them satellites. So if you think about all throughout our body, from our skin to our fascial system to our muscles to our tendons to our joints, we have these little satellites that are beaming information back into our central nervous system about our relationship to our external environment and our internal environment. And those sensory receptors, especially the mechanoreceptors, another just big word for, you can think of little satellites that are activated by load and pressure. You know, one of the best ways to start to initiate that information being sent is to load those satellites or receptors. And a great way to do that, again, is by placing hands and feet in contact with the ground. So by sending all of that information about our place in space, our brain lights up, because we have, you know, essentially a body map in our brain of where we are in space, our proprioception, for another biggie. And the more that we can get a better idea of where we are in space and where our body is in relationship to itself, the higher potential we are for function. So if I can make my body a better communicator to itself, then that means anything that I do, I have the higher potential to do it better.
Yeah, that's a beautifully well explained. I like that. Yeah, that's kind of, it's where proprioception, as the big word you just said, then kind of very quickly becomes like interoception and like just the outside becomes the inside. And then the better we are at understanding our inside, the better we are at functioning and being out in the outside as well. Cool. So I kind of want to go into one more, I guess. We started briefly touching on it before we do round up and I get you to give us your little a bit of advice. But we kind of briefly mentioned the idea of exercise versus movement, and exercise being a tiny part of the bigger picture of movement. And then at the very beginning, as I said, I pointed out one other thing, and this is where in my head, especially what I see on, if you like, Instagram, and you know, it's such a small world we see on there really, but the idea of really like health versus fitness. And what I see so much really is this constant driving for being fitter. But again, I in my eyes, and you know, I'm just kind of intrigued where to, I'm just kind of soundboarding on off ideas which are bouncing around in my own head. But this idea that to me of like fitness is like a tiny part of a greater picture of health. And actually, you know, I've got many friends who are PTs and whatever else, and there's people like James Smith PT and whatever else who I kind of feel they're very much pushing like the fitness side of things rather than like a bigger picture of health. And this might be my nursing background, and like I see people just turning up into A&E with just shit going on, which they shouldn't really be in A&E with. But yeah, kind of with your practice, you know, with your experience through PT and whatever else, as far as, you know, the world of like nutrition and everything that goes on, how, you know, I guess, yeah, where would your brain begin to sit with how you kind of see animal flow? Whether, as I think I've got an idea, because you've already said it's about living a longer, healthier life within your own body, but how animal flow can perhaps sit with the idea of health versus fitness.
Yep. So one of the things that I think I'm most proud of with the animal flow system is that it is a fully integrated system that you could look at as your movement practice, right? Or you could look at as your workout, your exercise, or you could look at every movement within the system as individual tools. So I need to achieve this. I can use this movement to achieve this. Fantastic. So I never wanted animal flow to be dogmatic in any way. You know, it's like, oh, if you do animal flow, you only do animal flow and you wear this and you only eat this and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Never, not at all. I wanted it to be used as a powerful tool depending upon your own needs or the person's needs in which you're working with.
Yeah.
So in saying that, it becomes even more than that. And we've seen that it becomes even more than that for our entire community, because we've had so many people tell us that animal flow to them is X. So to them, this is my movement meditation. Mm-hmm. This is my time where I get to turn off from the rest of the world and just have this relationship with my own being. You know, this is, I use it for my HIIT training. I use it in conjunction with my weight training. I use it so I can get my grandmother up and off of, you know, up and down from the floor, et cetera. So to me, it is still a tool and you get to decide how you want to use it. So for me personally, what animal flow is, it's a tool that I'm going to use to increase my resilience and longevity. And it's something that can be many different things depending upon when I practice it. So if I want to bring in attention to it, if I want to just explore, if I want to really challenge myself in a way that would promote strength, you know, if I really want to challenge myself in a way that would promote mobility, you know, so it can be so many different things, which that complexity, that variability, to me is a key of finding higher levels of health.
Yeah.
You know, and this is the theme that we've kind of been playing within throughout this conversation, which is encourage the body to adapt, to continuously adapt in all ways. Because once we reach that point of maintenance, it's not a terrible place to be, but our body is just continuing to become more efficient, which may mean more degradation or deterioration over time. Mm-hmm. So when we're looking at being more resilient and having longevity, we want to almost constantly be striving to try to get our body to have that adaptation process in new and varying ways. So when we look at that bigger picture of health, to me, it is the variety and living outside of the comfort zone, living in those gray areas that we don't typically explore in our day-to-day life or traditional exercise.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. That's kind of very much, I think, how I'm beginning to try to put things together in my head. But like, as you said, it feels like that's unintentionally been the whole conversation really has just been that, you know, idea of adaptation and the human body kind of being a fairly bloody wonderful thing. It's one of those things of like, I'm a barefoot guy, I kind of obviously pretty grubby, but yeah, it's amazing how much you know, that's another one of the things, you spend some time barefoot and your body starts to go, oh, it's not actually that bad, and I can do more with it and feel more, and changes everything up the whole chain. Cool. Well, just to finish off then, because we're pretty much hitting the hour. As I said earlier, I gave you the heads up, so hopefully you've had a little think. It's called Move, Breathe, Live, the podcast. As I say, I'm a nurse as a background, and I'm hoping that each and every guest can bring something, you know, an idea, a thought, just something that they can take away and either move and breathe, whatever, to just try and help them live a happier, healthier life. So do you have anything that perhaps our listeners can take away, give a go?
Yeah. Piggybacking off of our conversation, and, you know, we've both shared that trying things differently has been a big part of our journeys. You know, I think to me, that's the message that I always want to share with other people, is just try anything that's different from what you're doing. And again, it doesn't have to be movement related. It could be an instrument, another language. It could be learning to cook. Just try something different. Because in my experience with, and we'll go back to using the word workout just for yep, this example, but, you know, in my experience of training people and getting them into exercise, getting them into fitness, getting them into working out, is you can have the best program in the entire world, the perfect program. If the person hates that fucking program, they're not going to do it. They're not going to reap the results or the benefits from that program.
Yeah.
So getting someone into movement means that there has to be a love story there. There has to be something that engages them, something that fulfills them. And they may not know what that thing is until they try out a couple of different things.
Yeah.
So to me, I'm always like, yeah, go rock climbing, go skiing, go jump in a ice river, like go do anything different from what you're doing. And then once you do that, when you have that immediate response of, oh, I'm really shit at this, try to lean into it.
Yeah.
And, you know, going back to what we were saying earlier, is just expose yourself, allow yourself to be vulnerable, allow yourself to be bad, and just embrace it. You know, embrace the suck, allow it to wash over you, and then just go, you know, and then you can decide if you want to, you know, explore it more because it exposes your weakness, or if you want to run. And if your knee-jerk reaction is to run, challenge yourself to lean in a little bit and see where that takes you.
That's good. I mean, clearly you and Ryan must know each other better than you think, because you both had a very similar idea. Like you just said, embrace the suck, which was basically Ryan's little tip as well.
It's a Ryan Hurst line. Yeah.
I like that. But yeah, I mean, I completely agree. And it's one of those things of using cold water for an example. You know, it's a, you know, cold water is a shitty thing to like want to be near, and you know, I'm currently, we're having a little heat wave over here, so I'm kind of cold showering every morning, and even though it's like 30 degrees outside, getting in a cold shower still makes my brain go, don't be a dick, what are you doing, don't be a dick, just turn the knob to warm, it's really warm, it's comfy, get in. But yeah, it's kind of trying to lean in. I like the leaning in's a good idea. So well, thank you so much. Before I finish, I just want to, like, I've thought about it about 10 minutes ago. I'm going to bring it up and you can take it as a compliment or whatever, but something about the way you talk and the way your kind of your mannerisms are remind me an awful lot of Rob Lowe when you're chatting. So you can take that as a compliment or not, but
Wow. I certainly will, because that guy, I don't know how old he is, but he looks like he's still 25.
Exactly.
So, I'll certainly take that. If anyone's living the longevity race, I think it's Rob Lowe.
Exactly. There you go.
From the outside.
Your animal flow is clearly working if it's making you look like Rob Lowe. So there you go, guys. Go and practice animal flow and you can look like Rob Lowe too. Simple. Sale pitch.
Excellent way to end the conversation.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much for coming and joining me. I'll hit stop and then we'll just say ta-ra in a minute. So thanks so much.
Thank you, buddy.